Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Monday afternoon, everyone. I hope you had a great weekend. Steve Jones with you here on SJS. We'll be here until 5 this evening, taking your calls at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by our good friends at Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. I'm safely ensconced here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, getting ready for the Blue-White game, which will be Saturday at Beaver Stadium starting at noon. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today is Monday, and that means, as every Monday since the beginning of this show, we are brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Well, don't forget about the upcoming May Golf Classic. Looking forward to that. Has his slice set to go. Last year he sliced it with the rope on the straightest drive hole. It was as odd a straightest drive as I've ever seen in my life, but he ended up getting edged out by somebody else. The bitterness at the awards was palpable. All right. Masters, of course, done. Talk about that. And also Blue-White Week. A lot to talk about today and all week long as we get you ready for the Nittany Lions of the Blue-White game. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2004 Volvo XC90 2.9-liter twin turbo, $7,997. 2010 Chevy Impala four-door sedan, $13,284. 2012 Ford Fiesta five-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2010 Ford Mustang Black, just $14,998. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door GLS, $15,943. And a 2008 Ford F-150 Super Crew Lariat, $23,999. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Police are putting out some alerts in the Boston area for the crowd there and for the runners as well. People are being urged right now to stay away from trash receptacles, garbage cans. Now, we have to say we do not know where this explosion or explosions originated, but in the past, we have heard of events where explosive devices have been stowed inside trash containers.
So that's a live look from Boston from CBS News as we got word about 10 minutes ago that an explosion near the Boston Marathon finish line has occurred. The marathon itself, the winner's part of it, has been over for quite some time. We're seeing photos of a lot of debris at this point. And we'll give you more details as they come in. Again, CBS News reporting an explosion near the Boston Marathon finish line. And you can visit WKOK.com and link through CBS News if you'd like to see some of the live footage that's now being sent by the CBS affiliate in Boston. So that's unfortunately how we start what should be a rather entertaining day in New England with the Boston Marathon and, of course, in sports as well as we finish up coverage of the Masters as well, but instead some rather horrific news coming out of Boston. Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors studio with us.
Supposedly not one, but two explosions heard from what we understand. I can give you a lay of the land. The Fairmont Copley Square area, an area I've been to many times, and I've been to the marathon before. The marathon, in terms of the primary finishers, ended about, I think, I want to say an hour and 15 minutes ago, right around that area. But people are still running the marathon. There are some people that take 5 hours to run this thing. And the Red Sox game is over. The Red Sox game is over, so people would have been out of Fenway Park at that point. We do know that dozens of people are injured, some said to be severely injured. So that's what we know as of this point. But it's downtown Boston. It's in the Copley Square area. That is the finish line of the Boston Marathon, which starts in Hopkinton. The Red Sox game, as it does on Patriots Day every year, starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. And that game ended about 2:15 or so. And went extra innings today, as a matter of fact. And
Steve, you know the area really, really well. I mean, from
really
from,
well,
yeah. And so I was going to say from the video I'm looking at, again from CBS News that we will have a link for here momentarily. The video I'm looking at, it's a very tight, narrow area. It's very compact.
Yes,
lots of people in that area. We're seeing a lot of people right now with injuries being wheeled out in wheelchairs and on gurneys and so forth. But how close is that to Fenway Park, for instance?
From Fenway Park, that would be, I want to say it's blocks from the Back Bay Fens area. All right, that's about, you know, I'd say 4 or 5 blocks away. It's near the Prudential Center, okay? I mean, it's in that area right there. You have Copley Place. You have the Westin Hotel. It's near there. The Fairmont Hotel is there. The Marriott at Copley is there as well. Now, Fenway Park, though, is Copley Square is on one side of the Mass Pike, and Fenway Park's on the other side of the Mass Pike. How about that? And Copley Square is further down from, I think 4 or 5 blocks would be wrong. I'd say it's about 10 blocks from Fenway Park. And it's closer to the Prudential Center, but it's on the other side. Copley Square is on the other side of the Mass Pike. So when you're going in the Mass Pike and you get to the Prudential Center, which is exit 22, you would veer to the, there's, and you go in the tunnel, okay? There's two ways to go. You can go right to the Prudential Center in the tunnel, or you can go left to Copley Square in the tunnel. Left to Copley Square is on the other side of the Mass Pike. So you could not see this happen from Fenway. You'd be about 10 blocks away. At Prudential Center, you could see it happen because the Prudential Center is a tower, for goodness sakes. So you could see this happen. And so that's about where it is. In terms of distance from where we're talking about that, but that's Copley Square. The tallest building in, I don't know if it's the tallest one, it's the John Hancock Building. Hancock Building's where they had issues years ago with when they were building the Hancock Tower with windows falling out. Okay, that was years and years ago, the Hancock Tower. So the Hancock Tower is actually the closest tall building near Copley Square. How about that?
That gives us a little bit of a frame of reference.
Fair read on where it is. Yeah.
And in moments, we'll have that link available at stevejonesshow.com. Again, live coverage coming to us from CBS via the web, and we'll have that for you in just a few seconds.
Yeah, what happens is that when you come out of Fenway Park, for example, Boylston Street runs near Fenway Park, okay? And when you come out of Fenway, you're on one side of the Mass Pike. And Ipswich Street then goes to Boylston Street, which is just past the Charles Gate area, okay? And this is an area I know very well because I have to do this stuff all the time. You get to the Prudential Center first, all right, along with the Heinz Convention Center. But then you keep going and you go across the Mass Pike. It's when you go across the Mass Pike on the other side, which would be the northern side of the Mass Pike. That's where you get to Copley Square, where Boylston Street is. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else is there. That's the primary one, is Boylston. But it's, you know, the Westin Hotel's near there. The Marriott Hotel is there. And literally on one side of the Mass Pike is the Prudential Center. On the other side is the Copley Square area, which is near the Boston Public Library, the Westin Hotel. The Boston Common is now maybe a block and a half, 2 blocks further down. That'd be the Heinz Convention Center right around there, Trinity Street. That area. That's the area we're talking about right now. Those would be the area we're talking about. Now, the Marriott at Copley Place is on the same side of the Mass Pike as the Prudential Center is. Then the Copley is on the other side of the Mass Pike. So you're talking 6 to 10 blocks away from Fenway Park, as an example. But what happens, though, is that people go to Fenway to watch the game. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then they leave to go watch the end of the marathon once the ball game's over. That's how they're supposed to time it out. There's people still running the marathon. I mean, you know, people are running this marathon finishing 5 hours after it starts. So that's how close it is. If I hope I gave you some sort of a gauge. Where it is.
Yeah, and we will have some information as it becomes available throughout the show. But again, as I mentioned earlier, the areas that Steve's talking about being well covered right now by CBS News, you can find the link at stevejonesshow.com to get the live feed from CBS News at this point. Right now, they're running video of things that have happened earlier today with victims being carried out. And the reports are that there are injuries, but no word on how severe any of those injuries are.
Dozens of injuries is what I've heard through the Boston Globe. Okay? Dozens.
You know, the problem is, Steve, you get something like this now and you think of what a tragic accident maybe about 2 decades ago, and now you have to think otherwise. And that's what really, you know, kind of disturbs me a little bit. I mean, it used to be how tragic, and now it's like, okay, is this step one of a terrorist incident? Now, that's not being said by anybody. I don't want that confused. But
there were two explosions, though, separated. That's why people are worried. I mean, first of all, you're going to have a lot of people in that area to begin with. Okay, there are a lot of people in that area to begin with. Right, because that's where the Boston Marathon finishes. Now, you have a lot of people there because that's where it finishes. It also should be pointed out that nobody is at work today in Boston. Today is a holiday.
Patriots Day.
Right? Patriots Day is celebrated in Maine and Massachusetts. Right? It's not celebrated in the other 48 states, but in Maine and Massachusetts, it is a holiday. It is a day off. So, yes, you have a lot of people at the finish line at Copley Square. But you also do not have people at work today in downtown Boston either. All right? So, I mean, so it's a mixed bag in terms of, you know, who would be down there. But the Fairmont Hotel is the hotel that's adjacent to the finish line. And then you have the Mass Pike. Next to that, you have the Prudential Center on the other side of the Mass Pike from it, along with the Copley Marriott, all right? So you got a lot of things near here that, and again, it's an area I know very, very well, an area I've had to go through a lot because I think people know I've had to take my son, you know, to Boston, the Children's Hospital, which is on the other side of Fenway Park. But I mean, I've had to go through here a lot just to drive. I mean, just driving through there. And I've, you know, and when I, for example, when I go to Fenway, I always park at the Prudential Center anyway. Now, I don't know what kind of parking would be there on a day like this, but that's where I go. And then you go past, just past the Prudential Center, you go on the other side, and that's where all of this is. So, again, I'd say a good 6 to 10 blocks away from Fenway is where all this is and where it's taking place. But the Fairmont Hotel, I'm going to assume that they're taking, if they're taking a shot from it, the Fairmont Hotel, if you're looking past the Prudential Center, is on the right. If your view is, if they're showing you and you see the Prudential Center, then the Fairmont Hotel's on the left. How about that? Fair enough. And the Boston Public Library's in this area. The Westin Hotel's in this area. That's what's in. That's all what's in this area. The Old South Church is now. The, you know, we all know about the famous North Church. The Old South Church is in this area too. In Boston.
Steve, let's take a moment. Here's what we know right now, and it's very little from the Associated Press, that there were two explosions at the Boston Marathon finish line. There are injuries. Spectators were being carried to medical treatment tents. We'll have more as soon as it becomes available.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so at the Boston Marathon, they have confirmed that there have been two explosions. Two explosions have been confirmed. One was at the Fairmont Hotel and at the lower end of the Fairmont Hotel. And to give everybody a lay of the land, the primary roads in that area are Boylston Street, Route 9, which is the connector that really connects through the city. In fact, it goes all the way down to the Longwood section where the hospitals are. And Route 9 then goes right past Northeastern, Huntington Avenue, past eventually the Prue Center, through the tunnel area of the Mass Pike, then comes out the other side and at the Fairmont Hotel. All right? And that's where the Fairmont is. Boylston Street is one block over from the Fairmont Hotel. The John Hancock Building, the large black glass building that you see, the two tallest buildings in Boston are the Hancock Tower and the Prue Center. And the Hancock Building is the one that's at Copley Square. The Prue Center is on the other side of the Mass Pike. So that's where it is. The Boston Public Library is there. The Westin Copley Square is there. That is what is in that particular area. And they have confirmed there are dozens injured. So they say bloody spectators are being carried to the medical tent that have been set up to care for fatigued runners. Police wove through competitors as they ran back toward the course. There are a lot of people down, said one man whose bib number 17528 identified him as Frank DeReuter of North Carolina. He was not hurt, but marathon workers were carrying one woman who did not appear to be a runner to the medical area as blood gushed from her leg. A police officer from Boston was wheeled from the course with a leg injury that was bleeding. About 3 hours after the winners crossed the line, there were loud explosions on the north side of Boylston Street just before the photo bridge that marks the finish line. Another explosion could be heard then a few seconds later. So that is the story that we're getting so far. But they were two loud explosions that occurred in downtown Boston at the end of the marathon. The Red Sox game was over. That's the next part. The Red Sox game was over when this occurred. So there would have been people getting out of Fenway Park and either going, maybe not to the finish line, but would have been out and about. And maybe some people, you know, and they would not have been parked in this area. They would have been parked in other areas, and maybe they would have. Yeah, and you're not, for Fenway Park, you are not going to park in the Copley Square area. You are not. Yeah, you're going to park at gas stations in the Back Bay Fens. Maybe you're going to park in the parking garage of the Prudential Center, which probably today was full. There were no, nobody's working today in Boston. It is a holiday in Boston. Okay, it's a holiday in Massachusetts and in Maine. They have the day off, so business people were not out and about. You know, should this be deliberately set, which with two explosions, you have to now conclude that it's much more than coincidental? Then, you know, obviously it was done in a way because they thought more people would be gathered there than any place else. So that's what's happened. Any information we get on this, we'll pass along to you. Any information we have, we'll pass along to you.
One woman says she was waiting for her husband to cross the finish line, and in her words, said it just blew. She described it as a loud boom and then glass everywhere. And she just ducked. One of the runners from Toronto, Laura McLean, says she heard two explosions outside the medical tent. She said there are people who are really, really bloody, as you mentioned earlier, and they were pulling them into the medical tent.
Yeah. We will update you as this goes along. But that is the situation. In Boston. It's happened right at the top of the hour. And shocking. I mean, it is without question the last thing we expected to talk about in the show today. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods today, and we're going to have Josh Yowie on to talk about the Penguins today, but we're not going to do that today. We're going to push those things back. We have, you know, certain guests that we're going to have on during the course of the week, which we're more than happy. I'll mention that we're going to have Mark Loganrich from the Allentown Morning Call on the show to talk Penn State football Wednesday. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN will be Thursday. Patrick Chambers will be on Thursday's show. Friday we'll have Bill O'Brien. All right. Along with Mark Brennan, we have Neil Riddell this week, and we have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report this week. So we have a lot of people on this week. But today, obviously the shocking news as to what has happened in Boston. Now, if you want to, we will keep you updated on this story. Okay. And we'll go from there. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. So if you'd like to jump in and talk, you have any questions about this, we'll talk about this as well. Obviously, I was expecting a lot of calls today when it dealt with the ruling on Tiger Woods, which, of course, is insignificant in the big picture because of this. But a lot of people have obviously talked about it all weekend. Should he have withdrawn? You know, why? What about this rule that really gives you a do-over and so forth? When it came to the Woods thing happened, I think after we went off the air after we went off the air on Friday.
Yeah, it happened well after his round even.
Yeah. No. Well, in terms of hitting the shot.
Oh, you mean the shot itself. Okay.
Yeah, the shot itself happened after we were off the air. It's bad luck because the ball went in the water. But I will say this. The line of the shot's incredible. But now, one of the reasons that he moved 2 yards further back to hit the second one is because he knew he hit the first one too far. The reason it hit the flag stick on the fly, because it hit about 2 feet up on the flag. That ball's, to hit the flag that hard and then go into the water, the ball's probably going to fly past a good 15 to 20 feet. Now, it probably would have, let's face it, if you're going to hit it from the fairway, pros will spin that ball back. So who knows? He may have ended up 10 to 15 feet from the hole when it's all said and done. But he had flown it past the hole. The flagstick stopped it from flying past. He had three options. Angle from where it went in, he didn't. That was not a good option for him. He did not like to. The drop area. There is a drop zone because the ball went in the water. He did not like the grass in the drop zone. He felt more comfortable hitting it from where he previously hit it. Understandable, especially when he had a great line on it the first time. Everyone was like, oh, it was such a perfect shot. It was not a perfect shot. The ball did not hit the cup and bounce into the water. It hit the flagstick on the fly. So his angle into the hole was perfect. Okay, but this was not a soft, gentle come down, correct, you know, like just click the stick and all of a sudden fall away. He hit the stick hard on a line. He hit the ball too far. That's why he decided, I'm going to move further back. So he went back 2 yards. I'm sure what's running through his mind is, I'm no closer to the hole. I mean, I think all of us playing golf, that's the first thing we think of when we're going to do a drop. Am I closer to the hole? No. That, to me, that's the first criterion I think of. The initial criterion I have is like, I'm going to drop here. I'm no closer to the hole, right? And that's what he did. He was no closer to the hole. He was 2 yards further back. And he also freely admits that he moved 2 yards further back because he felt it did give him an advantage of taking the next shot as to what he wanted to do with distance control because of what he just hit. So he did take advantage, but you know, did he intentionally break the rule? No. Did the Masters officials foul it up? Yes. They absolutely fouled it up because what they should have done is that they should have sat down with him the second the round was over and said, hey, look, before you sign the card, we got to go through something with you. There also should have been a marshal on the scene. Although, yeah, I think you have to request it. But a marshal on the scene should have said, hey, look, you got to drop it near where, because it's obvious where his divot is and where he drops. Somebody tried to put out photographic evidence that, well, look, the photo shows he actually is right near it. No, he's not. You know, there are no other divots where he hit it. And you saw where he took the initial shot. He took a chunk. He took a divot, which he should. He's trying to spin the ball back. And so he didn't. And we will, you know, so if you want to talk about that, you know, you, all of you play golf, you know. Part of this does fall, by the way, on Augusta National. Yeah, I mean, before he signs the card, talk to him and say, look, we need to go through this. The other part that I do get very uncomfortable with, are people calling up and saying, I saw a violation. Remember Craig Stadler in 1987 with the towel at the San Diego Open? He was disqualified from the tournament he finished second in because somebody called up and said, you can't put your knee in a towel. Well, you know, I saw Matt Lehman cross the goal line with the ball in his hands against Nebraska. I mean, am I allowed to call? We're going to go CBS News update 2 minutes away here on the happening in Boston where two explosions have happened at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. The finishers of the Boston Marathon, the primary finishers, they crossed the finish line about 2 hours and 45 minutes before any of this happened. But, of course, typical of the Boston Marathon, while the biggest crowd is on hand for the top wheelchair, female, and male finishers, there are still plenty of people at the finish line because there are obviously people still running the marathon. Some people take 5-6 hours to run the marathon from Hopkinton to Copley Square. And the Red Sox game always starts at 11 o'clock in the morning on Patriots Day. This is not a work day in Boston, in Massachusetts, or Maine. Patriots Day is celebrated in those two states. So people were not at work in this downtown area. But it was a heavily crowded area because people were at the finish line, and that's where the explosions occurred. There were two of them. They have confirmed, Boston police, that there have been two explosions. And ambulances are on the scene. We know there is now one report. One report says at least three people have been killed. and many others have been injured. The explosions were said to be seconds apart. At the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And it would be a very crowded area because of that, but it's a lot more crowded when the top finishers are coming in. Okay? It's a lot more, a bigger crowd.
Now CBS News Special Report. I'm Howard Arenstein. The famous Boston Marathon was hit by at least two huge explosions, reportedly injuring as many as a dozen people.
People were on the ground screaming and crying for help, and others just looked absolutely dazed, like they had no idea what had just happened to them.
WBZ TV reporter Jonathan Elias was on the scene.
All across the sidewalk, people were strewn. They were on top of each other. They'd been, some of them had, there's really no way of putting this nicely, but you could see clearly that body parts had been blown apart. People were in shock. I saw a mom with her, a couple of her kids on the ground. They looked as though that they were just bloodied. I didn't see any major injuries to them.
Also on the scene, WBZ radio reporter Lana Jones.
Ambulance after ambulance after police car after fire apparatus. An enormous response.
Jones had a chance to speak to someone who was there when the explosions occurred.
Outside the medical tent here in Copley Square, I just talked to a man who emerged from the medical tent just a few minutes ago, unharmed by either of these explosions. He said he was inside when they occurred. He says everybody jumped, and within a couple of minutes, there were a number of casualties inside the tent. He says, in his words, some of them look pretty bad.
Law enforcement correspondent Bob Orr says authorities have no indication who or what could have caused the blasts, which occurred with thousands of visitors in the city.
You have a very big public event there today, the Boston Marathon. Boston, of course, a major metropolitan area. Hundreds of thousands of people in the city, if not more than that. And so there is a real concern, a very real concern that whatever this is, if it was something that was purposely set by someone, that this may not be the end of it. We could have something else out there.
Once again, explosions at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. CBS News Special Report. I'm Howard Arenstein.
Howard, thank you so much. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. It is another one of those scary days that unfortunately are far too common in life and shouldn't be happening at all. But there have been two explosions that have happened at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Now, the primary finishers had gone by and had been done for almost 3 hours. Wheelchair finisher, the male and female winners. I mean, that part had been done, but there's still a lot of people that are at, for example, the finish line of the Boston Marathon. The reason they're there is because it's the Boston Marathon, and some people take, the winners will get through there in like 206, 207. The female winner probably gets there between 218, 220, whatever. And the wheelchair winner, I think the wheelchair winner gets there before anybody else because they start first. But this is something that there would be a big crowd there, huge. Now, people are not working today in Boston. It's not a work day. It's a holiday in Massachusetts and Maine, Patriots Day, which used to be April 19th in terms of the celebration. I mean, Patriots Day is actually April 19th. And I would go up as in my youth, I'd go up there often to to whatever was going on up there, for the simple reason is that my mother grew up in Lexington, so we'd go up for Patriots Day every year. It's the one time my mother would let me, quote, skip school. It's the only time I ever skipped school. You know, my grandparents had a big party and the whole thing. I mean, because that's the kind of day it was. And so what they did was they moved it from April 19th, which is the date, it is the date that the Revolutionary War began on the Green in Lexington and the North Bridge in Concord. And, so we'd go to, you know, maybe once in a while go to Fenway Park for the Patriots Day game, or once in a while, hey, you know, come out, see, you know, a part of the Boston Marathon going through at the time, you know. Now, naturally, when I was a teenager, I wanted to go over to Wellesley where the co-eds are, but, I mean, that's, you know, it's a different story. But that's the way the day is. And so you had a lot of people down there in this area. A lot of people in this area at the time. And if these are two planned explosions, if they are, it was done with the idea that this would be the biggest crowd they could possibly get to at the time. Because there would be a huge crowd down in that area. I mean, there would be a huge crowd down in that area at the time. So what we'll do is we'll go to the top of the hour. CBS News will have an update on what happened in Boston. Cody Jade steps in. She will have the local update. We'll then have another update for you at 20 after the hour, 31 after the hour, and at 4:50. As we keep you up to date on this Monday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.